You are listening to the 97th edition of Free City Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Christophe in Montreal. Thank you for being with us. It is Friday, the 25th of February. We are now sharing two interviews every week through this podcast network. We broadcast on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and in April we'll also be broadcasting on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock on CJLO, which is at 1690 AM in Montreal. On the program today, we are going to be hearing from Raymond Villanueva, who is a media activist based in Manila in the Philippines. I had the chance to meet Raymond in Manila two times on two delegations that I was part of. International activist observers were invited to the Philippines by social movement groups in the country, particularly Karapatang, which is a human rights organization based across the Philippines. They work with many international human rights groups, including Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. They're a local human rights organization, Karapatang. Raymond Villanueva helped coordinate some of the media work around the delegations that I was part of. We were there to observe the ways that paramilitary organizations linked to the Filipino state's military were working to intimidate and also partake in acts of violence against members of left political movements in the country. So I wanted to speak with Raymond today in February 2022 about the current situation in the country. Of course, right now the Philippines is administered by populist right-wing president Rodrigo Duterte, who has enacted a series of brutal laws surrounding what has been called a war on drugs. This has meant that urban poor communities have been severely impacted, targeted. There's been a lot of impunity around police and paramilitary killings that have targeted urban poor communities. The war on drugs has seen a crossover of social violence and state-instituted political violence that has also targeted left organizations, including progressive investigative journalists. Raymond Villanueva is involved with the National Union of Journalists in the Philippines. That's the foremost important media organization in the country. And that organization includes members from, you know, many international media outlets, including the Manila-based Reporters for Al Jazeera, for example. Raymond speaks about the systemic violence that journalists in the Philippines have faced under Duterte. And specifically talks about the case of some community radio journalists who were targeted with state repression. Often what we see is that when we have independent media outlets in the Philippines, including community radio, but also online outlets, we see the systemic violence against reporters taking place on the part of paramilitary groups when they are uncovering the details of the institutionality of the war on drugs. So the ways that paramilitary groups are linked with the police or military of the state. We have seen reporters who uncover the buying off of political officials around international mining corporations active in the Philippines, including Canadian companies. We see reporters who are documenting cases of labor rights being undercut in the country within the garment industry and other industries where you have international corporations involved. Reporters who are detailing that facing violence, facing threats. And so I think that the work of the international press in the Philippines is important, but most important are the reporters on the ground, Filipino progressive investigative journalists like Raymond Villanueva. He has been involved in bulatlat.com, that's bulatlat.com. That's one of the most important web journals in the Philippines, and also Kudao Productions, which is an important video-based media institution, independent within the country. So we talk about basically what's going on right now in February 2022 in the Philippines under Duterte's government, the repression that journalists have faced. I think that Raymond offers a very important voice, one that is rooted in progressive media networks in the Philippines. And it was really a pleasure to get a chance to speak with him. So here's our conversation.
I'm Raymond Villanueva. I'm a journalist of nearly 30 years.
Let's maybe just focus a bit on understanding, your role with the National Union of Journalists in the Philippines. Obviously, this is an organization that we've highlighted before on CKUT Radio in Montreal and on my program, specifically Free City Radio. Can you talk a bit about the realities that you've faced both before the pandemic, but during the pandemic, in terms of the ways that organizations and individuals have been documenting Duterte's crackdown on independent media workers? I mean, independent journalists have played a critical role in exposing the social political violence of the quote unquote drug war and the ways that it has targeted urban poor communities. This is a very urgent issue. It's persisting. Can you talk about sort of your perspective on this, having been involved for years in Kudao, but also as part of the National Union of Journalists in the Philippines?
President Rodrigo Duterte, at the very start of his presidency, justified media killings because he said those who got killed and those who are being attacked, journalists who are being attacked deserve what they get. And the killings hasn't stopped. Today, there are 21 confirmed victims of media killings in the Philippines. And the number of cases of attacks on independent journalism in the Philippines continues. In fact, just several days ago, we came out with a statement condemning the ongoing cyber attacks on not just the alternative press, but also the few that remains critical and unbowed by the harassments, the intimidation led by President Duterte himself. It's only very recently that the big media outfits have come out with admissions that they're under distributed denial of service attacks, much as we have suffered these past years. For example, in the case of Kodak Productions, our daily website traffic, we'd be lucky to have 100,000 unique hits a day because we're small and not many Filipinos are into alternative and independent journalism. The Filipinos still prefer corporate media pretty much. But under distributed denial of service attacks, you could have as many as 150 million hits. In fact, the digital rights activist group Curium in Sweden has said that no one has been hit by DDoS as much as Kodaw and my other outfit, Bulatlat.com, in the whole of 2020, were the most cyber attack media outfits in the world. And we have levied charges against two private companies. And just last year, the Department of Information and Communication Technology, a government line agency, has admitted that one of those that instigate attacks against us is the Philippine Army itself. That's how high and that's how ominous and sinister the attacks that we suffer, that even the government itself is forced to admit that the military establishment in the Philippines is leading the cyber attacks against independent journalism in the Philippines. We are also victims of red tagging. This is the nefarious practice of labeling us as terrorists, as communist sympathizers, just because we don't like, they don't like our reports, which are usually mostly around 80% of our reports are on human rights. That's why in my representation as a journalist with the United Nations Human Rights Council in 2020, we made the bold declaration that independent journalism in the Philippines is human rights work. And we asked the international community, to the United Nations, to help protect us, because we are being killed, we are being intimidated, we are being labeled as terrorists. But we soldier on, so to speak, as with other brave human rights defenders in this country. We could not give up. And so we still continue to come out with more human rights stories. In fact, my story for today is about the commando style raid on a community doctor in Mindanao. Her house, the police scaled the walls, destroyed the front door of their ancestor house, just to arrest an elderly and ailing community doctor who was also taking care of her mom when raided and arrested just this morning.
Thank you for sharing that. People can visit your website. It's kodao.org, kodao.org. There's a lot of different channels there. So just to underline, you talked about red tagging. I realize that this is a really important reality for progressive journalists and activists in the Philippines. There's been an appeal from European parliamentary voices recently that have been contacted by human rights groups in the Philippines to address this issue. But so just for people to understand, what does that mean? I mean, we're in 2022, red tagging, it sounds sort of like a framework that would be in a, you know, sort of a framework from the Cold War era. But this is something that you're facing today in terms of violence from the Filipino government and the military. And also, you know, there's other players involved. I understand that in terms of paramilitary organizations. So what is it and why is it happening in terms of the questions and challenges that progressive media outlets are presenting to the state? Why is red tagging happening from your perspective in terms of trying to silence these voices? But first of all, just please explain what it is for people here who don't understand.
Yes, Stefan, you are right in saying that it's a throwback to the Cold War era. It's a page torn out of the McCarthyist playbook of ascribing terrorist links, so-called terrorist links, to those who are critical of the government, or in our case, journalists who come out with critical stories and information that the government doesn't want the people to know, much less the international community to realize what's happening in our country. They call us, red tagging is the practice of ascribing links to so-called terrorist organizations, first to intimidate us journalists and other human rights defenders to not come up with stories and reports on human rights violations, such as the mass killing of suspected drug dependents in the Philippines, which the Duterte government has unleashed on the Filipino people since 2016. That's one. Second, this is to justify whatever attacks that we will be made to suffer, such as assassinations or closures of our media outlets by leveling all sorts of charges, such as not filing income taxes or saying that we are being supported by meddlesome international organizations, and that we are being controlled by, of all things, imperialist organizations out to influence public discourse in our country. The sad thing about it is that these are not just threats. These are not just accusations against us. We are dying. We are being arrested and put in jail. Just the other day, Frenchie May Cumpio, an alternative journalist, a community journalist I personally trained in radio broadcasting, observed her second year in jail. And just as the original charge of communist links, the court case charging her with communist links is about to be submitted for the decision of the judge. The military charged her with another fabricated case of terrorist financing. And so this very young lady, who was editor of her student publication at the University of the Philippines, and was producing, hosting a regular radio show, is being branded as a communist guerrilla, bearing arms and planning ambuscades against the military, when she is in fact a regular radio broadcaster in the country's leading radio network. So it's more than a threat. It's a way of silencing critical voices we claim to be of the people, because our stories come from the communities, come from the marginalized sectors, come from deep convictions for social justice. They don't want that. On the other hand, they in the past few years, Duterte's camp has empowered trolls and made them as powerful influencers of the discourse to try to cover up human rights violations, corruption, and misgovernance in this country.
Thank you, Raymond, for sharing all of that. The last question would just be for people to sort of have a picture as to social economic realities today in Manila, but also in the Philippines in general. I mean, you're in the capital, but just about understanding the reasons why the state is using systemic violence to crack down on social movements and independent media outlets, There is a lot of opposition to the current government and their tactics around the drug war, but this is taking place not in isolation. There's a broader conflict in the Philippines around land and economic inequality that is sort of behind, like, creates the historical context and the historical reality through which social violence is happening today. So can you try to give us a bit of context and understanding? You know, people will see headlines, you know, there's these many killings have happened in relation to the drug war. There's a complaint at the European Human Rights Commission. There's a report that has been made through Amnesty about this. But just for us to understand, how is this current crisis of human rights existing within a broader social economic reality?
The Philippines is governed or misgoverned by powerful political and economic interests. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be holding another national election, so we decide who gets to govern or misgovern the country. This may come as a surprise to peoples of progressive countries such as Canada, but the leading candidates in these presidential elections, the leading candidate for the presidential seat is the son and namesake of the ousted dictator, Ferdinand Marcos. His junior appears at this point to be headed back to the presidency or reclaim the presidency that their family has held on for so long through brutal rule, martial rule. His running mate is the daughter of the current president, Rodrigo Duterte. And she's also leading in surveys, and they appear to be continuations of the political and economic interests that has kept this country maldeveloped and languishing as a banana republic with widespread poverty, human rights violations, control of the economic base, as they are the biggest landlords or in cahoots with the biggest landlords in this country, and also the owners of the biggest, or our friends, the owners of the biggest corporations in this country, as well as foreign economic interests in this country.
That was an exchange with Raymond Villanueva in Manila. He's an independent journalist. He's worked with many organizations, but important to this exchange is to highlight that he worked with the National Union of Journalists in the Philippines, which is the foremost organization representing reporters in the Philippines. I've had the chance to meet Raymond a few times in Manila and also get to see the role that, you know, press freedom groups are playing in the country. You know, in the context of a government where we see like systemic paramilitary killings under President Duterte in the Philippines through what is being called a war on drugs, but the creation of, you know, mechanisms of social and political violence through the police and military and also paramilitaries that has also expanded to the targeting of left organizations. So the war on drugs has sort of been a wave of violence, state-driven violence, that has allowed for a broader creation of a political and social militarized society. So we've also seen, you know, this process called red tagging, which, you know, sounds like sort of a Cold War scenario. And in the Philippines, the context is that, you know, left organizations are constantly accused of being affiliated to terrorism, quote unquote. But basically, you know, there's a very significant progressive movement in the Philippines demanding land reform and social and economic justice. One that, you know, independent progressive researchers and reporters like Raymond Villanueva, who I spoke to this week on Free City Radio, have been part of. So that's a bit of context. I would really encourage you to visit one of the pages that Raymond contributes to, which is bulatlat.com. That's bulatlat.com. He also works with Kudao Productions, which you can look up, Kodao. So thank you to Raymond for being on the program this week here on Free City Radio. It is Friday, the 25th of February. I'm Stefan Christoph in Montreal. We share two new episodes a week. We also broadcast Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM in the city of Montreal. And we'll be starting to broadcast on CJLO on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. CJLO is on AM radio at 1690. You can also find us, of course, through this international podcast network on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph in Montreal, and I'm going to go out with some classic tracks from DJ Crush, who I remember hearing quite a bit of music from when I was visiting Manila. Thanks again to Raymond Villanueva for being on the program this week, and I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
Se voit. Ne se voit pas de loin, pas de loin.
Je voulais plus être deux, je voulais être juste moi.
You're just an object to me. I'd like to get to know you better. Paste you across my body. You're just an object to me. You're just a piece of me. I am the butcher. I love you.
Bonjour Angélique.
Bonjour Diana.
Qui es-tu?
Je suis une chaussette.
Enchantée.
Enchantée?
Ou enchaussée? Est-ce qu'on dit ça entre chaussettes quand tu rencontres une autre chaussette
Non.
C'est après une bonne blague.
Je crois que c'est une blague que les humains font, mais nous on ne fait pas.